Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. And now we head to Dublin and to indeed link up with, well, first of all, our friend Ted Smith, who was born and raised in County Westmeath in Ireland, and an immigrant who moved to the United States and became a senior executive at two Fortune 500 companies, including Heinz. And he serves on so many boards, positions, including the Ireland Funds. A diplomat from 1972 to 1988, a career highlighted by his work in Northern Ireland peace process. You know, he is president of the advisory board of Glaxman Ireland House at NYU and chair of the advisory board of the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin and a founding member of Irish Americans for Biden 2020. Ted, you're very welcome indeed to the program.
Thank you.
Start with your arrival in Dublin.
Sure.
You know,
I was privileged to hit the trifecta of Irish American events in the last 2 weeks. You know, we are a couple of us from the Irish Americans for Biden committee, chaired by Brian O'Dwyer, a great Mayo man, were invited by the White House to join President Biden's state visit to Ireland, and that was a true privilege and an historic moment. The second thing was we went to Belfast and Derry for the Good Friday 25th anniversary events attended by President Bill Clinton and Secretary Hillary Clinton, and also attended the special award given to our own Loretta Brennan Glucksman for her contribution to Irish peace. And it was really wonderful to see that. I think she was the only Irish-American honored. And then just more recently, I've attended with many other Irish-American organizations and organizations from around our diaspora in the world, the Civic Forum at Dublin Castle. So it's been a really productive, creative, and memorable time, and I'm very lucky to be part of it all.
Ted, I want to ask you about the reaction, and God knows we have heard and listened to and watched many of the highlights of President Biden's trip throughout Ireland. Can you maybe, well, of course, the naysayers would say, well, he did very well in the South, but not well in Belfast. And it seemed like there was plenty of controversy and no Kate Miliefalcha for him in Belfast and Northern Ireland. Can you give us your read on that?
I wouldn't agree with that. I frankly wouldn't agree with that. I think what the president did in Belfast was he went up there very respectfully, listened to the politicians who are trying to put power sharing back together again. He didn't come in dictating a solution, and he had a very successful popular meeting at the University of Ulster in Belfast, and all the parties attended that, including the Ulster Unionists and the Democratic Unionists and Sinn Féin, SDLP, and Alliance, and they reflected afterwards on how balanced he was in his approach, encouraging people to come back to government in Northern Ireland, and if they did, they would be a big economic dividend for them. And of course, he was accompanied by Joe Kennedy, the special economic envoy to Northern Ireland, who has spent another 10 days after that trip listening to everybody, visiting, and talking about the massive opportunities that would be available if because of the political stability and equality up there. So, you know, he very much stressed the need for equality and parity of esteem and for the implementation of the Good Friday Agreement. And the key thing is he has stressed forever his support of the Good Friday Agreement, never wavering on that. He was accompanied on this trip by a very strong congressional delegation, including Richie Neal, the co-chairman of the Friends of Ireland in the U.S. Congress, and a number of senators. And I think the trip was just placed right, because if he'd gone into Northern Ireland saying he was going to solve the problem and get everybody back into government, clearly they weren't ready to do that yet, and he would have been accused of having failed. So I think the low-key approach was the correct one in the circumstances. Secondly, of course, his trip to Dublin was an outstanding success, so successful, and to Mayo as well, and to Louth, that the British press got all annoyed about it, which was amazing to see. In other words, a cartoon showing the old stereotype of a drunken Irish or a leprechaun in the Times of London, and people were annoyed. To me, Adrian, it betrayed a strange new thing in Britain, which is almost a defensiveness, a sense of insecurity, almost an inferiority complex toward the Irish. That here the Irish are having a very successful visit with the President of the United States, who clearly likes Ireland. He doesn't hate America, UK, as some people state, at all. But, you know, he really felt at home in Ireland, and that showed. And the Irish people came out in their thousands to cheer him on. It was a true homecoming. It was a lovely trip. And actually, I recommend listeners to look up the Irish Echo piece online, if you don't have the Echo itself, by Brian O'Dwyer, another great Mayo man who was there to greet him in Ballina at Knock Airport, and now I think it's called Ireland West Airport. But just a great trip. I had the privilege of being in the Oireachtas, the Irish Parliament, and all the parliamentarians were there, and the congressional delegation, to see him make a fabulous speech. And then, of course, there was the Dublin Castle gala dinner, which again was just a beautiful, beautiful evening. But, you know, the trips to Louth, the Finnegans, the trip to the Blewetts and others in Mayo, these were magical events. And I don't think there's been anything like it since JFK came to Ireland 60 years ago. Here was the most Irish president in the United States, Joe Biden, Scranton Joe, just embracing Ireland and showing Irish Americanness. And, you know, I'll just finish with this note, but Ed Luce of the Financial Times noted that Joe Biden managed to combine the virtues of being middle class, i.e., what are those? Honesty, hard work, compassion for the underdog, with being Irish. What's not to like about that? It's a terrific thing. And if you're Irish, you have the Irish identity, you know, these are the values that we espouse. Honesty, hard work, compassion, community, family. And that's what Joe Biden, you know, personifies himself.
Yesterday and the day before, again, the Global Irish Civic Forum took place. Again at Dublin Castle, and it was only the third a call, as it were, from the Irish government to the global diaspora, and obviously the success of that was again tremendous, starting of course with a great friend of the diaspora, Micheál Martin Tánaiste, a former prime minister up at the beginning of the year. What was the purpose of this Global Irish Civic Forum, Ted?
Well, and a number of purposes, but the key thing was they hadn't gotten together for 5 years, largely because of COVID since the last one. And there's a lot of learning from other Irish organizations around the world. We share a lot of data. We share our best practices. But we're most of all dedicated to engaging younger people, the next generation of, say, Irish Americans or Irish Australians or Irish in Britain in their Irish identity. And how do you do that? So it's Irish, to take Irish America, it's in transition, obviously. People say it's waning. Well, it's aging in part, but then the young people are coming along. They're playing Irish music. They're playing in the GAA. They're going to concerts. You meet them where they are. And that's what we were discussing. How do you reach people where they are today and get their attention so that they want to identify with being Irish? And on that, and, you know, Tip O'Neill used to say that all politics is local. And I've come to the conclusion that all culture is not only local, but global. So if you take, you know, Irish music, for example, and say, you know, it used to be Bing Crosby, and then it went to Bono. You know, it keeps moving, it keeps evolving, and we need to evolve with it in terms of outreach. And the Irish government has appointed 6 cultural officers around the world, and there are 2 of them in North America, Nick Quaife, and Sheba is the other one in Los Angeles. And she, you know, she was speaking today, you know, about the green carpet, Sheba Quinlan, and how important Screen Ireland is for these new movies that have come out, A Long Goodbye. You know, the immense impact of Irish movies, Irish writers, Irish poets, and Irish American ones, because culture, you know, Irish culture goes to America and it becomes Irish American culture, and that's correct. In Dropkick Murphys, we played the music that welcomed Joe Biden onto the stage in Ballinagh. You know, it's massive energy. But that's the way to adjust it. The St. Patrick's Day events parade, that started out as a distinctly Irish American celebration, which eventually was picked up in Dublin. So the influence goes both ways, and the music goes both ways, and the events and the concerts. I mean, one of the things we did in our survey of Irish Americans, which I mentioned to you before, and which we're putting out on a webinar, it's going to be a webinar about it next Wednesday. If you go to Glucksman Ireland House website, you'll get all the details of the webinar there. But we're talking about some of the findings and research that we came up with. And what, here was the question, have you attended any of the following Irish-themed events? Select all that apply. Well, the biggest one by far, and this includes third generation, fourth generation, beyond Irish-American, was music concerts. Probably no surprise, but, you know, you have great groups out there, Celtic Thunder and others, who are getting a lot of attention. The next one was theatrical or dance performances. In our own, you know, New York area, of course, the Irish Rep does spread up, but all around American cities. Art exhibitions next, lectures, book reading. So there's a lot of good, great stuff going on that's engaging people of all ages. They may not be going to some of the, you know, traditional Irish organizations, but we've got to find them, we've got to engage them, and on their own terms, and that's what we talked about a lot. So it's a big challenge. Now, the other thing I think you're going to ask me about, and I'm sorry to anticipate it, Adrian, is votes for the Irish abroad. And we've talked a lot about that. And we met with the Minister for Diaspora, a lovely man, Sean Fleming.
Yeah.
And, with the Minister, of course, the Taoiseach is very interested, Micheál Martin, in Irish America, and a big fan, big supporter. So what, you know, one of the ideas has been to get votes for Irish citizens overseas in the presidential election in Ireland every 7 years. But one of the things that was emerging, actually, which is maybe more interesting, was, you know, the Irish Senate has these panels. There's an agricultural panel, there's an industrial panel, there's a university panel. Why not have a panel for international Irish citizens abroad? And you'd have representatives from North America, Irish and Britain, the rest of the world, Australia. And these people would be like six Billy Lawlesses. Remember how Billy Lawless represented the diaspora so well? Well, you'd have a few more of them. And so if you had an issue with a driver's license or visa or whatever, you'd have somebody to go to, and they would make a representation for you in Dublin. They would say, okay, what are you doing about passports? What are you doing about driving licenses? What are you doing? You know, to make the lives easier for people to come and go between Ireland and the United States. That's one of the ideas we're kicking around. might be an easier ask because, you know, it's integrated into something that people understand. Billy Law is represented as that. But we just need more of great people like Billy in the future.
Ted, picking up or staying with, I should say, the forum, the civic forum, were there a lot of different aspects as, you know, I believe there were like 135 countries that were catered to then, and maybe that figure is way off, but what were the common concerns for those who came literally from all over the world? Did everybody
that's a good question. It's a great question. And the things that we talked about were, first of all, our people responding to the needs of and staying relevant to an evolving, changing diaspora. And the second one was, you know, what are our values, including, you know, having diversity and the sense of belonging amongst our communities. The next one was our prosperity, building networks to promote economic, cultural, and social connections, helping people get jobs, like the Irish Business Organization does in New York. that's key, obviously. And, you know, we must do a lot of that. Then there was one on about, you know, culture. And a lot of people believe that Irish arts and culture organizations are a new way to replace, you know, the sense of belonging that the parish provided for years.
Right.
You know, hundreds of years. And given people are moving out of these parishes and into the suburbs, they're feeling a little bit disconnected. So how do we connect them? Irish Arts Center is a good example, and there are replications of that all over America. That's probably the way of the future. If people are genuinely interested in Irish and Irish American culture, brings folks together, makes them feel good, you know, whether it's step dancing or community activities, theater, music, etc. We discussed that, and people, there were open mic sessions, there were panelists, really high quality stuff from many people, and I'm glad to see so many young people there as well, doing a tremendous job in representing their diaspora. Obviously, the biggest numbers were probably from the United States, but good numbers from Canada, South America, even Asia, Europe, and, of course, down in Australia and New Zealand. So great to see it all.
I want to ask you, and I reflect on a period, I came to this country in 1959 and got the feeling that Irish America was dwelling on the, you know, the God be with the good old days, and everything is falling apart in the Irish community. It's not like it used to be. Here we are again, talking about moving on from, I don't think it's any secret that people would be aware that there's an older generation that served America and Irish America in particular well through county organizations, various other areas of it. Are there new plans to continue what seems to be working now, as you rightly pointed out, you know, the arts, the culture, sports? Is that a moving away from, you know, the old traditional areas where, which was a cultural community, that were basically, saying, this is how we, you know, who needs all of that stuff if we get together and hammer out some through the organizations, hammer out some differences or improvements along the way. Is that passé, as it were?
No, not at all. And you're right, of course, that now every generation of people say, oh, we're, the Irish are going away, it's dying out. And, you know, the reports of our death, as Mark Twain said, have been much exaggerated. the Irish are doing very well. And it's just transitioning. I prefer the word transitioning to waning or aging,
right,
for all that stuff.
It doesn't sound, actually, it doesn't have as good a ring to it as, you know, demise.
Book headline, The End of Irish America, sure to get your attention. It's all about clicks. But no, it's not happening. Nevertheless, we can't be complacent. We've got to keep working and keep at it. We're deeply in debt to the people who've carried the flag, older generation, for many, many years. But we can repurpose a lot of buildings, organizations, to make sure we bring in, not just neglecting the older people who are there, but bring in younger generations. There's all sorts of ways to reach them and bring them in. So a lot of the best practices on that need to be collected and put up on a website so every organization, any individual interested in it, can draw on that, a template, as it were. And I urge the Department of Foreign Affairs, which is doing a great job, to do more market research like we did the survey. Find out what it is people are doing, what they're interested in. You know, Adrian, if you're selling a survey or a product, you would go out there and do research. You know, who are the audience? What do they want? And what can we influence them towards? And, you know, that sort of work, a lot of it hasn't been done. We're sort of, you know, we're stabbing in the dark. So I think having a better insight into Irish America, for example, where it is, we know the big parts of it are, but how do we scale up? How do we reach out to the as many as possible of the 32 million that we can and keep that vibration going? Not just, you know, it's a good thing in itself. It's also a great economic and political asset to Irish America and to Ireland. We've seen that with the Good Friday Agreement, how Washington just came together on a bipartisan basis to protect the agreement against the reimposition of a hard border in Ireland. That was massive. It was key from 2016 onwards. And, you know, British government couldn't understand what was happening. And then in terms of economic relations, there's a fabulous two-way trading and investment relationship between the United States and Ireland. And, you know, and that's, there's a good wind blowing behind that because people feel good about going to Ireland. People, managers like to go there. It's a great place to live and bring up your children. And that's, you can't underestimate the value of that for an economy and for a country.
Now, I want to briefly address a survey that was commissioned by Glucksman Ireland House and indeed the Council for American-Irish Relations. Change research, it's not just any old survey, it is nationally rated polling firm. And in conducting a nationwide survey, to profile, as it were, the Irish America of today. There were some surprises there, but again, very realistic, and this is, you know, they didn't have any particular dog in their fight, other than to create a new profile again through Brian O'Dwyer and yourself. Where was the real, or was there a big surprise in that survey, or secretly did we all know, you know, that those trends were there anyway and opted not to even acknowledge it?
Well, the biggest takeaway for me and Brian, it was great to have Brian and the Council of American-Irish Relations supported with Glucksman Ireland House as I say, we'll have a public webinar on it this coming Wednesday. But most Irish Americans have roots in America, go back several generations. And people thought the further you go back beyond second and third, that the identity would wane. But we found the country, there's still a very strong association. They have a meaningful connection with their heritage, primarily through their family, their friends, no surprise, through their personal Irish history, and then aspects of Irish culture like music. So, you know, the conclusion I draw from that is appealing to these connections, the appeal to their Irish, to their heritage, is a very effective way to mobilize this group going forward, to engage them. And so that's, you know, that's very heartening, and we just need to respond to that, that fact. As you say, it's a nationwide survey. It's done according to all the best samples that can be done in polling. It's probably about 4 or 5%. No, the margin of error is 3.8%, which is normal in surveys and polls. And so, you know, we hope this is the first of many surveys, because it will provide a benchmark so we can start talking about trends on your radio show and say, okay, this is a trend that's going one way and it's encouraging or it's less encouraging and so forth. But, you know, did you know that 72% of Irish Americans are not members of any Irish group? And online Irish groups are the most common organization Irish Americans involved in. Now, that's probably directly affected by COVID. You know, if people wrenched a bit and stayed at home. So it's another impact of COVID on the way we meet and socialize. And that may wane a little bit as people come back out again and get tired of meeting everybody in their bedroom on their Zoom. They want to have a cup of tea or a pint and have a bit of socialization in their lives. So that's a key one for me.
All right. This is, tell us about the webinar for Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. Yeah. And how do people get that? How do we log on?
If you go on our Glucksman Ireland House website, you'll just Google and click on that. If you come right up as an event, forthcoming event, and you can just register right there to join the webinar wherever you are in the world. Great thing about webinars, you know, you can click right in there in real time, and you can ask questions, and you can hear what we're talking about. We'll have with us Mike Quinlan as well from the Irish American Council, and Professor Kevin Kenny, Director of Glucksman Ireland House, as well as two of the pollsters from Change Research, who of course can get into any of the details, cross tabs and so forth that people want to get into to learn more. So it's a great opportunity to find out more about Irish America.
I want to leave you because, and we want to thank you for joining us and filling us in on what has been an historic, I think you could say, a trifecta of events that that you managed to fit in over the last couple of weeks. Bottom line on, again, yesterday's Global Irish Civic Forum, what do or should we expect as a result of that? What are we going to learn from the gathering of Irish diaspora worldwide?
I hope the follow up is that we meet again, not in 5 years, but in at least 2 years' time. I hope that the consulates, I think there's six of them around the United States now, will convene local Irish American organizations, so people who haven't been able to go over there, and say to them, here's what we learned, and here's what we're going to do about it. We're going to invest more in this area. We're going to have these online templates so you can draw on them. We already have done some of that connecting Irish organizations. Consulates have done that recently. But I think it's a great opportunity just to build on it immediately. And so the moment doesn't go away, because there are a lot of great things said at this conference. We need to have those recorded. We need to have them. We need to act on them. And I would say, you know, hopefully in 6 months' time, the Taoiseach to Micheál Martin and the Minister for the Diaspora will be able to report out and say, okay, here's the 20 things that we heard, and here's the 10 things we're doing now, and here's our timeline. You know, so there's action coming out of it, and it's not just another great talking session and nothing happening.
I think also, Ted Smith, we are fortunate in the United States to have, as you mentioned there, six consulates areas throughout the United States. It will not be anything new to have their full cooperation, because they have been extremely active and supportive. And I think this gives an opportunity for, for those consulates and to make sure that, yes, the message and the takeaway from the Global Irish Forum, Civic Forum, is indeed something that's just not a flash by, but rather something.
Yeah.
Again, that will, together with, the survey, the survey that you had commissioned, there's plenty of opportunity there to meld both. They're not. There are a lot of realities there that have been faced and helped by that survey. And again, we want to thank you for taking the time to spend with us.
It's always a privilege and honor to talk with you, Adrian, and with your listeners. You do a superb service there for the Irish American community and have been doing it for many years, you and Anya. So we're deeply grateful to you for all of that.
And, thank you. Thank you. The forum was really aptly known and advertised as Le Chéile Arís, Together Again.
It's Le Chéile Arís, and that's hopefully happening to all of us in the world. There's been a lot of isolation, a lot of mental distress from being isolated so much. Time to get back together, have a good time, socialize. And there's a lot of it going on in Dublin, we'd like to know, and in Belfast, and in Derry. We went into the Guildhall, where all these school children came and gave wonderful speeches and sang songs for Bill Clinton. It was, that was the homecoming for him. We went into the local pub called Eastwood's Pub, and Bill was, thrilled to be hanging out with people. The signs of COVID seems to be gone in Ireland. So if you're planning to come to Ireland, it's sunny here right now, beautiful. There's going to be a warm welcome for you coming over to Ireland. And Tourism Ireland, as always, is doing a terrific job. We've got to, north, south, east, west. You'll have a great time. So I've had a wonderful time here. I've had a few pints and, I'm going, looking forward to getting on the plane, on Aer Lingus plane on Sunday, and having a sleep on the way back.
Listen, we feel so bad for you. And also, I just need, so we don't have to listen to Mayo people who say that the chieftains were, the group that got together in Ballina.
Warmed up the audience. It was lovely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people, in hindsight, President Joe Biden would have gathered in Longford, or for that matter, your county of Westmeath. Well, we had 27,000, in cold and rain down in Ballina. So I think that
it was 35, so I kind of 5,000. It was massive, and the enthusiasm. And then everybody in Ireland was glued to the television.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They did. I mean, my sister and my brother said, they just couldn't take their eyes off it. It was just great television. RT did a super job of broadcasting live from all
absolutely.
The events. Our own local was doing broadcast for RTE on continuity, identifying all the players. And, there was great to see. Larry Donnelly, who you know, was also broadcasting. Sean Whelan from the Washington office. So it was all hands on deck, and it was just a great, great event.
Well, and again, I wonder how we would count the number of people around the world who, including ourselves in the United States here, watched, the event. We didn't get much done, actually, until the president left. But
no, you can't buy press like that, publicity like that. It's who we are. We have great for hospitality, and people have a good time here. And there's some serious business was done in terms of protecting the peace in Ireland. There was unanimity in what we must protect Ukraine from aggression from Russia, and that was a very important part of the trip too, and the improving U.S. European relations. All of that, was conducted as well as having a good time. So it's a good combination of pleasure and business and diplomacy, the best sort of visit you could possibly imagine. Great. And I think, more investment and trade will flow both ways as a result of this, bringing more jobs to people. And just the other day, yesterday, the Irish government noticed that it had a 16 billion euro surplus that popped up in the budget. I mean, you and I remember the days when there were massive deficits. So that's
absolutely
all good news. The country's moving. There are cranes up everywhere. I look out here from the window and I see cranes on the horizon. People are building. People are active. Good vibe. And it's just nice, lovely to see after the challenges we had in the 70s and 80s and then the Celtic Tiger exploding. Great to see Ireland on the move again.
Well, Ted Smith, again, it's our pleasure and honor to have you there, even though there's a slight tinge of envy that you were, north, south, east, and west, and on your trip. But anyway, it's great, and it's great to not only get the positive news, but also to get your takeaway from it. Thank you, Ted Smith.
Thank you.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com, worldwide.